Okay, so this is a good going forward. I wanted to establish the foundations for the past couple of weeks of fear and the result of it. So I started looking at it this week from the perspective of God. Well, when do you begin to show me? Or when do you want me to start to share with them the other side of it? Because the dangers of walking in fear and the outcome is big. And we went over some of it. We started with, let me just go to my notes real quick so I remember where we left off. Well, I know where we left off. We started off with the golden calf and how they turned on God. And as a result, all this death came to them. So I began to look at these consequences. We already know when we get to the book of Exodus about the golden calf, then we get to books of chapter 13, which we went over, which I won't go through the whole thing again. And this is the, you know, God telling them to go take the land of Canaan, and they coming back and reporting, you know, the 10 of the 12 spies that they're giants and we can't take them. And they decided to introduce the fears over the promise and the consequence. And I want to make a point of that before I move on. One of the things I didn't really pay a close attention to the first time, you know, every time I get into it again, I see something else. And that's why I like to take the studies that God gives me and look at them a few times. I don't think you should read a scripture and say, ooh, that applies to me, and then just walk away from it. You should always come back to it and look at it again, because every time you read it, it may speak to you from a different level. When I looked at it again, I saw something really interesting, and that was this. We could see that God gave them an instruction, and they chose to fear and not believe God. And the consequence was always great loss, a lot of time, death, a lot of, you know, misfortune. But what I saw this time was the opportunity was always presented to them not to believe blindly, but to believe clearly. How many of you understand what I'm saying right there? Now, who says explain a little more? Do that. Explain that a little bit more. Okay. God didn't just say, go take the land. Don't worry about it. I'm with you. Just go. There was always a clear laid out thing in front of them in the word of God and his word to them. He told them what the victory would be. He told them he would have the victory. He told them the great blessings that would come as a result of it. He told them what they would inherit. There was never, you know, I had people say all the time, blind faith. And every time I look through the Bible, I never see God asking us to believe anything blindly. He always says, here's the consequence and the consequence and reward for believing me. Can you bear witness with that now? Even in accepting Christ as Savior, he doesn't just say, accept Jesus or die. He said, accept Jesus and in him you will have everlasting life and I will call you my sons and daughters. So there's always the reward explained. There's always the promise. There's never like, there's a treasure chest. You won't know what's in there until you get there. Just go face giants and good luck. There's always a very clear definition of the reward in the scripture. Are you related to what I'm saying right now? Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying. God always tells us this is the reward for obedience before he talks about this is the consequence of disobedience. So these people weren't going after something blindly. They weren't going after something with no understanding. There was the promise to them. And the promise, are you listening to me? The promise was something that they were seeking. So not even the promise was something that was God was thrusting on them against their will. They prayed for this freedom. They prayed for this deliverance. Their mess got them in the trouble they were in. They were praying for God to bring them out. Usually when you begin to seek God for things you believe in God for, am I talking fast? I'm going fast. When you believe in God for certain things, yeah, I kind of get excited. When you believe God for certain things, you go before God with these petitions. God begins to then speak to you about how he's going to manifest your desires or your prayers. And in that, he'll begin to tell you, I need you to stop doing this. I need you to start doing this. I need you to walk away from this. I need you to pick up that. These are the things that you're going to face when you go forward. These are the giants that you're going to face. And the big giant in every situation, are you listening to me? What's the biggest giant? Let me start off with a question. What's the biggest giant that you have to face when God calls you to go forward into something that, one, you prayed for and are believing God for? What's the biggest giant that you have to face? Anybody want to volunteer? Who's got a hand up? Esther got a hand up. Nelly got a hand up. And I think Jackie got it. No, yeah, Jackie has a hand up. So go with Esther first. Go, Esther.
Hey, getting out of your comfort zone.
That's good. It's a good answer. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yourself.
Stop. Yep. That's it. Stop. I'll still hear what Nelly has to say, but that's the answer I was looking for.
Oh, it's fear. Just fear.
No, it's the self. She answered it. It's yourself. Because fear is the spirit that just hangs. Uh-huh. It has no power, no place until you take it. Once you take it, then it has power. Did you hear what I just said? Fear is powerless, just like faith is, unless somebody takes it. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you receive. Fear works exactly the same. So the issue wasn't that there were giants in the land. The issue was they chose to focus on the giants. Say that one more time. The issue is not that there are issues that face you that seem bigger than you when God called you to do it after you prayed for it. The issue is you choose to look at the size of the thing over the promise of God or the one who sent you. That's the issue. It's always the issue. Fear is not an issue. Fear taken is an issue. Court that? You have to receive fear. Just like you have to receive a word by faith, you have to receive fear. They chose to seek God. Let me not say they. Let me say you. You chose to seek God for answers to your prayer or the next steps in your life. God promised you that you can have it. And then he began to open doors to show you the ways and the avenues to receive it. He did not promise you it would not be that it would be without some resistance or some pressure or some flat, because the enemy is not just going to roll over because you pray. But he only has one power. And that power is the power of conviction over you. I said this a million times. Satan cannot kill God's destiny for your life. It's not possible. He can only convince you to abort it. He can only convince you that you're not worthy of it. He only can convince you, well, maybe it's some sin in my life that if I was just perfect in every way, then maybe these things would happen. You know, if he can't tell you you can't have it at all, then he'll start telling you things you have to do to earn it. Whatever the case may be, the gifts and callings of God without turning a shadow of repentance, and the gifts of God are the gifts of God, and if God spoke it, yeah, there is some lining up we have to do, but even that lining up is his doing in us. It's not us. It's God working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So even my shortcomings, even your shortcomings, even the things that you know that you shouldn't be doing still can be surrendered. It's not your job. I hear so often from people, you know, I need to just work on that. Well, then what do you have God for then? Don't work on it. Acknowledge it. Repent of it. Give it to him. You know, those of you who are on here that know me regularly, you know my saying when you're coming to me with these things. I say, so how's that working for you? Well, I've been working on it for 10 years. Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you need to learn surrender to his grace and receive deliverance. Speak life over it and stop speaking death. So the point is here. God calls us. We respond. Amen. Even salvation, you did not choose, and the scripture said he chose you. God calls you, you respond. Then you come to God with the dreams and desires of your own heart. God says to the ones that he already ordained for you, absolutely, my baby, yes. Now it's your turn. It's your turn now to come against everything in you that has kept you outside of that thing. Are you with me? Are you with me? It is now my job to come against the thing that lives in me now that has put me in a position that I'm currently in. I want to make sure you're catching that. See, everything you have in your life right now, good and bad, is a result of your own beliefs. Your own confessions, the things that have been said to you as a child, whatever you raised up thinking, well, you can't go this far unless you have this degree, and you can't do this unless you come from here, and you can't do this if you're this color. All this stuff has been planted in us. from birth, Satan has been working to fill us and indoctrinate us with evil reports. Turn on your news, buy a newspaper. You know, like anybody else, we love negative news. Post something positive online, you may get 10 views. Post somebody punching somebody in the mouth, you get 50,000 views. It's just like that. People love negative. The sin nature in us gravitate towards it. But we're taught that from childhood. The enemy has surrounded us in this world system that we now look at things as the glass half empty. So here's where we're going. Back to my point. So now you spoke to God. You got God's agreement. You're going forward. But now you have to do battle. And the battle is, as Jackie said, yourself. You are the biggest obstacle, not the devil. Let's stop blaming the devil for everything. The devil's doing his job. He puts it out there. He fills the air with lies. He fills the air with fear. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. This is his job. Let's not fault the guy for doing his job. The problem is, are we doing ours? Are you with me? Are we doing ours? Do we know, as the scripture says, resist him? They don't say fight him. We fight with the devil. The scripture doesn't tell you to fight him. It just tells you to resist him, ignore him, speak against him, put him in his place, and he will flee. You don't fight him. You focus on God. You focus on God's promise. I want us to, in this season, to understand that I'm not trying to teach the dangers of fear. I'm trying to show you the consequence of fear in contrast to the consequence of the promise. And that consequence is so much bigger, so much more powerful. Are you being blessed so far? Let me see a hand. Good. So let's go forward. First of all, say, I am royalty. I am God's child, and Satan has no right to me. He has no right to you. I need you to understand that. Well, sometimes God will use him. No, God, if you got children, you don't go get your enemy to beat your kid, and God don't call on Satan to beat you. You have that authority. Now, when my children were little, if somebody next door or somebody tried to bother my kids, I'd go and mess them up. My son now is bigger than me and stronger than me, and I don't think he's calling me to beat up nobody for him. He don't even want me to know he beat him up. You follow what I'm saying? He's a big dude. Now, my point is this. God expects you, babies, are you listening to me, to get to a place where you just smack the devil outside his head yourself. You, in the name of Jesus and that authority, like, you ain't supposed to be calling, crying to daddy every time the devil opens his mouth. Look him in his face. If you don't shut your mouth and get away from me. And he knows that authority and he respects it. The question is, do you? So let's talk about, let's go back now to this. Let's go to Matthew 25. Let's do that right now. And let's look at that a minute. I'm going to just put one final story in there from that side of the fence. And then we're going to come back to the other. Matthew chapter 25. Give everybody a second. It gives everybody a chance to get there, as well as give myself a chance to get there. If you don't know where that is, that's the first book of the New Testament. Are you ready? Ready? You got to do a hand or something. Sometimes your heads are too little for me to see. Okay. Let's start from verse 14. Let's look at this. Now, Jesus is describing the kingdom of God. And he said, and again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted wealth to them. He called his servants and entrusted what to them? What did he entrust to them? Wealth. So God doesn't have a problem entrusting wealth to you. Did you catch that? I thought I got to get some amen on that. God doesn't have a problem entrusting wealth to you. He has no problem with it. Yeah, I know, but money's the root of evil. No, it says the love of it is the root of all evil, and that's not the focus. The focus is God can't trust money to people who trust money. God can't entrust wealth to people who trust wealth. That's the problem. That's the problem. God don't have a problem with wealth at all. You know, can you ever picture God, just being funny for a minute, can you ever picture God sitting up there like debating and stressing out over money and bills and how, you know, they would go about getting an answer to you? Can you picture yourself saying to God, I need to do this thing you called me to do, and it's $50 million. I'm going to throw a number out there that I know it's going to, you know, just rattle everybody. $50 million. And God looking at Jesus going, that's a lot of money. I don't know how we're going to work that one out. No, it's not him. It's us. So God can't entrust wealth to those who trust in wealth. Last week I said something. I got a couple of phone calls, one from Mike James in particular, about the difference we're saying between trust and believing. And we're just going to believe God for this, and we're going to believe God for that. And every time a situation comes up, we need to believe. Versus saying, I just trust God. And no matter what situation comes up, I trust. I don't want to be a person that's a believer. I want to be a person that trusts God and let my believing flow out of my trust. And a few of you called me about that and said, wow, that spoke to me. For me, I'm learning that it's more important for me to just trust God even when my believing won't want to work the way it's supposed to. You know, sometimes something scares you. And I have to just say, I just trust you. Let the believing fall where it falls. I trust you. And it always lines up when you trust. So I just want to reiterate that. God entrusted wealth to them. And he gave five bags of gold. To the other, he gave two bags of gold, and to another, one. So I'm already looking at he's scaling based on their beliefs or lack thereof, how much he can entrust. There's a scale here. It's 10 for one. I believe I'm in the 10 category. That's what I'm claiming. If not, I'm believing for that. I believe I'm in God's 10. Some of you are maybe five. Some of you will be one. Some of you will be, God's like, I can't trust you with nothing. But that's between you and God. I don't get into that. But my point is, there's clearly a scale here of how much he can trust to each person. Are you with me? The man who received five, according to his ability. No, let me finish. And he gave one back, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also did the man with two. And he gained two more. But the man who received one bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money in it. Wow. Something just jumped out at me. Each person received a hundredfold return on what God gave them. I shared this to you guys in messages before. You know, people say, no, sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100. And that was not a true statement. That's when he was talking about salvation. When you go out and you give the word to people and some receive it 30, 60, 100 fold. When he talked to the disciples and they said, we've left everything, Lord, to follow you. He said, no one has left anything in this life that will not receive in this life a 100-fold return. It was never 30, 60, 100. It was always 100. And this right here just jumped out to me because I never saw it before. Right there, each person gained a 100-fold return on what God gave. The one that got five more. The one that got two more. So in kind, the one that had one should have got one more, and none would have been better than the other because they all got a 100-fold return. It's not how much they got, but what they did with it and the return God looked at, he would have looked at it equally. So I want you to understand that. I'm making a point, so let me make the point. God is not looking at your gift and comparing it to mine. God's not judging your prosperity based on how much I prosper. And God doesn't look at me and then look at you and say, well, you didn't prosper as much as him, so therefore I don't consider you prosperous. We do that to each other and we do that to ourselves, but God does not. God's like, if I gave you $10 and you came back with $20 and I gave him $100,000 and he came back $200,000, that's fair. You did 100% with what you have. Does that take a weight off of some people? I know some of you look at everybody who you think is prospering more than you and think you need to be them. You need to do your best with what God gives you. Say that. I need to do my best with what God gives me. And saying that's the only thing that's important. It's messed up when you start looking at everybody else and start judging who you think you should be based on what everybody else claims to be or doing. There's times I see people and you look at them and you think, oh, they prospering. Oh my God, they just got a house. They just got a car. You ain't seen their credit report. You ain't there when them calls come at night because they struggling to pay them bills. They fighting around the table because they can't. Don't get caught up watching other people and what you think is prosperity for them. If you got nothing and you get an apartment with one room, you did better than the person that ain't done even that. Start somewhere. Let God build your faith step by step. Your faith is your relationship with God. He's given everybody opportunity in proportion to your present talent and skill set. Did that bless somebody? Wave a hand at me if that speaks to you. Let me not jump off the subject. I'm going to go to the whole different point, but let me stay on this point. So each person received their money. Two of them doubled it. One who received went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Respect. At least he didn't squander it. He hid it. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. What's the first line of that verse? After a long time. Remember the very first story we went through in Exodus? Moses went up to the mountain to get the answer from God. And they said, this guy Moses has been gone too long. And they began to say, let's build this fake gods, because they felt God's response was taking too long. We don't know what's happening with this guy Moses. Let's make ourselves some fake gods. Am I making a point? Of course I am. So I saw this after a long time, and I strategically put it there because I saw it again. So here's God again. Here's God's promise to you right here. God's Israel. Everybody right here watching me. And then God walks away, and he stays a while. And sometimes he stays just long enough to irritate you, just long enough to see how you stand when all your human patience runs out. Somebody may not like what I'm saying right now, but it is so true. God will work. Who bears witness with what I'm talking about right here? Just stays away just long enough. So all you're tired of listening to that same Christian song you've been praying over and over. You listened to Joseph Prince 50,000 times. Now you're pointing out, okay, I ain't got an answer yet. I don't even want to watch this Christian TV right now. I'm tired of playing God Will Make a Way. I'm a friend of God. I don't even want to hear that right now. Where's my answer? Just long enough for you to show your true colors. Just long enough for you to find out who you really are, to be proven that you can be set up on the shelf like a fine wine and let aged, so that you can find out what your proof is. He stayed a long time and then returned to settle accounts with them. You see, I can find stuff and everything. So he stayed long enough, and then he always comes back to settle accounts. Say, my God always comes back to settle accounts with me. He never leaves me alone for long. He always comes back. I want you to take comfort in that. He always comes back. Some of you might feel like you've been waiting a little too long right now. But just wait a little longer. After having done, the scripture said, all, Stand, therefore, after having done all, stand. After you run out of all of you, all of your strength, all of your logic, all of your intellect, all of your connections, all of the people that said they was going to come to didn't come to. You applied for that grant and this one and it didn't happen. And after all of that doesn't work, you stand. And he shows up and he settles the accounts. I could wrap up the message right there and say, have a blessed day. That right there, that's a good place to, I could stop. But we're going to do this verse right here, and then this chapter right here, and then we're going to wrap it up for the day. Wow, God is so good. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought another 5, and said to his master, and said, you entrusted me with 5? I've gained 5 more, 100-fold return. The master replied, well done. I'm impressed. You are good and faithful as a servant. I'm rephrasing the Diamond Brown version, but hey. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Stop. What was the master's ultimate goal? I want some responses. He had a plan. He had a he was up to something. What was it? Stick hands up. Let me know if you want it. I can't see everybody. They do have the raise hand icon thing you can also hit. But what was his ultimate goal? Is anybody who wants to comment, I'll respond. If not, I'll keep moving. What was his ultimate goal here? What was he doing? He was up to something, clearly. What was he up to? Nobody want to take a guess? Shell got his hand up. Let's see what Shell got.
He was trying to see what they would do with what he had given them. Would they squander it? Would they build on it? Or would they just sit on it?
Okay. Well, that's true. And that's part of it. But there's an ultimate goal I caught here that I want to see if you're caught it. Jackie?
I think he was basically testing everybody's faith.
Okay, that's a truth, but there's something specific that's being said here. I'm not making it up. It's written right there. We just look over it. Who else got something? Esther, put her hand up.
He wants them to come and share his happiness with them.
She got it. The ultimate goal was he was trying to see who he could promote to his level. You got that? He said, watch this. He said, you are a good and faithful servant. Because you've been good and faithful, I'm now going to promote you, come up to my happiness. I'm going to give you great wealth. So his goal was to promote them through this trial of faithfulness. Everything you said, Jackie, all you said, yes. But what was the ultimate goal? That through this situation, through giving you something and trusting a gift to you, everybody on here has a gift. I'm going to trust you with this gift, and then I'm going to step away for a while, and I'm going to see what you're going to do with it. Then I'm going to come back, and I find you faithful with it. Then I'm going to promote you to another level. But I have to prove, that scripture said he was faithful with good few, will be blessed with many. So it comes down to God is, oh, Jesus, Lord, let these people get what I'm saying to them. I want you to stop and just internalize what I'm about to say. God always wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Always. Stop praying to God like you begging him to open up his hand and give you a quarter. God wants you up on his level all the time. All the time. There's never a time that God is trying to close his hand in you and make you pry it open. That's a lie that's been planted by church, by the devil, by a lot of ignorant preachers. God's hand is always open to his children. He's always looking for the opportunity to take you to the next level. Always. 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 He's preparing them for the next level. A couple of weeks ago was the last where I talked about if you don't take the time to prepare when God calls you, during that grace period is the time for you to prepare so that when God delivers you to where he's taking you, you're ready. You don't ask God to take you into a battle unless you let him train you first. A lot of people get hurt because they think it's magic. You say a prayer and that's all you do. But you also have another responsibility. And that responsibility is, now that I've asked you for it, train me. I'll give you another scripture. He said, there's a man who begins to build his house without first going out and counting the cost, considering what it would cost to do it. In the end, he will not be able to complete it, and he will be a fool before all. Why? Because you didn't take the time to be trained. This is not magic. Are you listening to me? God's not a genie, and this is not magic. God works in you. All things work together for the good. So there's processes that God says, if I've called you to be king, I first must train you how to behave as a king before I put you in the palace. If not, you'll get in and you'll be a total idiot and you'll squander everything I gave you. Real serious faces today. Am I speaking to somebody? Am I speaking to somebody? Am I speaking to somebody? This is important. There's a preparation involved. And what he did with these talents was he gave them the opportunity to prepare. Master's coming back eventually. When he comes back, what will he find? There's a scripture that says, when the Lord shall appear, will he find faith in the earth? He's looking for it. I said last week, I'll say it again, the just shall live by faith. Not use faith when they're in a crisis or call on it when they need things. You shall live by it. It's your actual existence. It's your oxygen. It's your food. It's your breathing. Everything you do should be by faith. This right here, children of God, was a faith exercise. He gave them the opportunity with this exercise to find out what they believe. And he gave to them according to what they received. God showed me this a long time ago. People used to always say, God won't put more on you than you can bear, which is not scripture, by the way. It says he will not allow you to be tested above that which you are able to bear. But with every temptation, he's faithful to provide a way of escape. So quoting it that way is demonic and it's wrong. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. Even positively, that works. He only gave him one talent because he knew, even in doing good for him, that he didn't want to put more on him than he would be able to bear. So sometimes people don't see the blessing of God in a certain level of abundance because God said, yeah, because I'm not going to tempt you above that which you can bear. Don't ask me for $1 million. You screw up $100 when you get it, or $10,000 you go and waste it. Don't ask me pray for 10 million until you let me teach you how to be faithful with the 10,000. And the people of God said reluctantly, but it's true. It's a preparation. God is training you for kingdom. He's training you for kingdom. He's training you for kingdom life living. He's training you for that. Well, stay in the training until his training is complete. He took a while to come back. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. He didn't ask you to be faithful with a ton of things. Just with a few. I will put you in charge of many things. Now, some of you are already too involved with many things. I ain't going to call no names. But everything you can stick your fingers on, you're just doing too much. You're doing the most. You're doing the Teddy Riley. And everything you do is just falling apart. And you don't understand why. You're just doing it. Just like that. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Don't do that. Just do the thing I gave you to do faithfully. Just do the thing I gave you to do. The few things. How many of you would admit by a show of hands, yeah, I have a tendency to just get involved way too much. To just too many things. See, we know. Just get all that out of the way. And focus on the thing that he gave you to do. The reason why you're doing a million things, because you don't think that the one thing God promised you is going to bless you. You got tired of waiting. You got tired of waiting. You got tired of waiting. Here comes the golden calf. Yeah, I'm going to keep referring back to that. I want to make sure we understand all them little extra things you're doing. Those are your golden calves. So much meat in this message. So much meat in this revelation. Okay. Few things. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. This is dropped in my spirit, so I'm going to say this. And when he puts you in charge of many things, don't add many more things to those many things. Just stick with those many things that he gave you and leave all your other many things out of it. That's it. Just want to throw that in. The man with two bags came and said, Master, he said, you've entrusted me with two bags of gold and see I've gained you 100-fold. Two more. He replied, well done again, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. What did Pastor say a little while ago? It doesn't matter if I do it on this level and you do it on that level. Doesn't matter. He gave him the same reward, the same master's happiness, the many things, the same response. He gave 1.5, he gave 1.2, but the result was the same. Do I need to give you another scripture to back this up? Remember, he said he's the Lord of the field sent somebody out in the field in the beginning of the day. And he went out and got somebody. And then in the middle of the day, he got somebody else. Until the end of the day, he got more people. At the end of the day, he paid everybody the same. And a couple of guys were there from the beginning of the day. Say, how's that fair? We were here all day. He's like, did I pay what I promised you? Well, shut up then. You got what you want. It's my money. I distribute however I want. It's the same thing he's saying here. He's saying, listen, the guy with two, the guy with five, the guy with two, and the guy with one could have got the same exact outcome from God. Outcome would have been the same. He was looking for faithfulness. He was looking for somebody to be consistent. He was looking for somebody to be steadfast. He was looking for somebody. He was not looking for somebody to be busy. I have a phenomenal life, and I feel like I'm probably one of the at times laziest people on the planet. I feel like that sometimes. I'm like, God, I just sit around most of the time. Yet he keeps prospering. Because he said, but you do the things that I need for. Like Mary, you're not running around with Martha trying to do everything that you can stick your hand on. And that's why you can't even see my blessing because you're too distracted. You're so busy looking, you're not looking in the direction I told you to come. I'm going to move on. So here's what we have. Both people, two different amounts. One person had five, he came with 10. One person that had two, he came with four. 10 is double, two times and a half what four is, correct? Y'all can do math, right? Okay. But he gave him the same exact reward in the end. I want you not to slip past that. Well, you pastor, you blessed because you just, no, I'm blessed because I obey where I am. Obey where you are. Somebody say, I obey where I am. God will meet me there. You understand? Just obey where you are. Stop looking at other people. Just obey where you are. And let me just say this because it's in my spirit, and I just want to say this with a gentle heart. And you listen to me. And just because he's returned from his journey and you look at somebody else and you see they're prospering and you figure, well, God is really prospering them. He's not prospering me like that. Well, you don't know how long they've been waiting for Master return. You're just looking at their life and seeing all their prayers are getting answered and you thinking that God is moving on them quickly, but you don't know how long they've been standing. You don't know how long I've been standing. You weren't there when my son passed away and I still said I ain't turning my back on God when people were trying to tell me I should. You didn't watch what I went through. You didn't see me stand against people turning against me, people walking away from me to help. You weren't there for any of that. So you can't look at my life and try to judge why God blessing me. You don't know how long I've been waiting in the field with my talents for the Lord to come back. You don't know. You don't know how long anybody else has been waiting. So stop judging everybody else's blessing and thinking God ain't answering yours. You just stand and do what he told you to do till he gets back. The people said, this is real. This is real talk. I ain't going to be up here shouting and screaming at you. I want you to get something that's going to change your life forever. God is out there handling things for you. He is out there putting things in order for you so that you can come and enjoy his fullness. He is putting it together for you. But when he returns, what's he going to find you doing? When he comes back with your answer, where are you going to be? Remember in the Garden of Eden, he went off, he came back, Adam's hiding. Where are you? Just be where he left you. He's coming back. Say it. He's coming back very soon. And I'll be ready. So now let's get to number three. Then the man, verse 24, that received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man. Obviously, he was wrong about that because look at the other two guys, but he obviously had his own opinion. He formed his own opinion based on something somebody told him, something he heard. Well, you know, the Lord, you know, works in mysterious ways. He makes you go to hardships. He puts you through stuff, you know. You never know what the Lord's going to do. You know, you may have heard it in church, wherever you heard it. Somebody gave you an image of God who was a hard God, who was slow to answer prayers, who was rough and mean and made you go through hardships and would put disease and cancers and stuff on you just to test you and see how you're going to do. You know, you done heard that bull crap from somebody. Right? They done told you God's hard God. But according to the first two, they obviously had a different understanding. And according to your faith, be it unto you. If that's what you expect, that's what you get. Don't blame God for that one. So he was a hard God. I knew you were hard. And I knew that you were hard, man. Harvesting where you had not sown, yet he gave him gold. He clearly sowed. And gathering where you had not scattered seed. Yet again, there he sits holding his gold. So I was afraid, and that's the word. That's the word. That's the word. The whole message, that's the word. We can skip everything else. That's the word. Forget that you're a hard man, and you scattered where you, and you reap where you didn't sow, and you scattered it. Forget all of that. It comes down to one thing. I was afraid. His action wasn't based on any truth. His action was based on fear. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? His decision was based on fear. It was driven by fear. It was created by fear. It was birthed by fear. And it grew into all these explanations out of that fear. Look at your fear and what it's brought to your life. And look at all the explanations. And look at all the summaries you come up with. Look at all the beliefs you come up with and the things you come to accept as true because a fear was planted and you allowed that fear to grow. It took on a personality. It came on a definition. It started to give you all kind of explanation. And that's what you deal with right now when you see your world being stripped away from you by the devil who is a liar because you decided that your fear, and I say your fear because you claim it as yours. Your fear now has truth in it. And as a result of that, you're eating your fear. It's in your yard. Your yard is filled with thorns and thistles. And God has a plan. No. God has a plan to have you go rip all of that out and stop the ground fresh. Tear that crap up and plant a new harvest. And then plant it, and then wait a while. And some of you may have to wait a while again after you rip up all your junk that you've mixed in the weeds with the tares. Some of you, God might say, just be still. I can separate them. Either way, you have to be obedient to it. Let's bring it home. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid my talent that you gave me. See, I'm giving you back what belongs to you. I hid it. His master replied, oh, I understand, baby. I understand your fear. We all have fears, the things we got to overcome in life. And it's okay. It's all good. We're going to just try again, and we're going to work it all out because, you know, the Lord knows your heart. No, that's not what he said. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. So if you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered, then he said, then you should have put my money at least in a bank so that when I return, I got some interest. You should have done something with it that I got a return on. So take the bag from you and give it to the one who has 10. See, now he has 10. He had 5. Now he has 10. Watch, for whoever has will be given more. And they that will have an abundance. So whoever who has now will have more, and they will have an abundance. So whoever has now will have more, and they will have an abundance. Let me say it one more time. So those who have now will have more, and they will have an abundance. Let me finish this, then I'll explain that. And whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from them. Two very powerful points here. I'm gonna break them both down. And throw this worthless servant outside into darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is always hell every time I see it in the Bible. So he was saying throw him outside the kingdom, not outside of his apartment or his house. He was saying throw him outside of the kingdom. He's not worthy of kingdom living. He needs to reap what those who are not his should reap. Wait a minute. Because he didn't trust him. He said, you're wicked and you're evil and you're not going to look out for me. You're only going to look out for yourself. And God said, and his response to him was, then you're no longer part of this family. And he threw him out. But here's the two points I want to wrap up with. So take the bag from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they shall have abundance. Now, I've broken this down to you guys more than once through the course of being in this ministry, and for those who never heard it before. God began to show me as I walked. He said, there's poverty, then there's lack. That means you're not in poverty, but you just don't have enough to get by. Then there's sufficiency, or, you know, enough to meet your needs, sufficiency. Then there's surplus, you got enough to pay your bills and then help other people. And there's abundance, when you have so much, you don't have room to receive. Now, I believe I'm in between the surplus and abundance realm. But I'm believing for full abundance because I love giving and I love helping. But now I'm way more strategic than I used to be when I was trying to buy love. That's a different story too. But yeah, don't get blessed by God and feel like you're supposed to go try to save the world because the world don't give a about you. They'll take your stuff though. That's a different story. We won't go there. So he right here makes a point that he wants abundance. We're talking about the same people. Are you listening to me? We're talking about the same people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The same three people we're talking about. He gave them 5 talents. He came back with 10. He said, you're a good servant. You were good with that. I'm going to give you more. Come and enjoy my happiness. And what is his happiness? That they have abundance. Right here it says, they will have abundance. And then he said, whoever doesn't have, it will be taken from them even what they have. That one threw me off. That one threw me off. I had to pray about that. Because if they don't have, you're going to take from them what they have. But they don't, Sheldon's like, yeah, but they don't have nothing. So how are you going to take from them what they have if they don't have? So now I'm forced to prayerfully seek this out. And I looked at the statement, throw them out. There'll be darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. So he's talking about what they have, if they don't have what they're supposed to have. Naturally, they can lose even what they have spiritually. You lose your covenant. You lose your relationship. You get thrown out. This is not about money and things, as we would tend to make it that. This is about trust and not trust again. It always comes down to trusting God and not trusting God. It's not about the goal and how much wealth and money. That's in there. It's included. But this whole exercise is to teach them to trust their Lord. This whole exercise is to teach them to believe that if I give you an assignment to do and you're faithful with it, I expect to come back and find an increase on what I've given you. This is what this is about, saints. It's not about money and stuff. That plays into it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But it's not about the things. The message is not about the stuff. It's about faith and trust in God to provide when he says he will. If he takes long, if he comes back immediately, you are not supposed to waver. What you believe God told you is supposed to be steadfast. You're not supposed to move. And saying I was afraid is not an excuse for anything but judgment. You lose what you got, and even what you have will be taken from you. This God said, I can't trust you with stuff. I won't give you nothing. As we go forward, how many of us have needs and things that we have really been seeking God about in this season of our lives? Okay, I want you to take a minute with those things, because if you gave it to God, then you should be patient to hear from him and then wait for his response, no matter how long it seems to take to you. And you need to stand there and not move. And I don't care which way the wind blows. I don't care if it's corona or whatever it is. You should not be moved like that. I watch people freaking out behind this thing. And I'm like, well, where's your God? I don't understand. I just don't get it. God is prospering me more in this time. I'm watching him move. I'm not hurting at all. Actually, I've done better. I know God liked me. I know. He think I'm cuter than all of y'all. He liked me. I got that. But not that much. I mean, he liked y'all kind of like he liked me. I think he liked y'all a little bit. Like, I'm being a wise guy. But you understand what I'm saying? He's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for anybody. But you have to trust. And you have to stand. And you have to decide not to move, no matter what the world is saying. No matter what fear they're pumping over the television screen, turn it off. Turn it off. Put your faith in the word. Trust God. Don't let yourself be filled with all these, he's hard and he's tough and he's rough and it's going to be rough. Just don't let it happen to you. God is still faithful. He's still on the throne and he's still coming back looking to see. His eyes roam to and fro, seeking whom he may show himself stronger. But those things come not, you know, so many people say, I remember the first time I heard that, I said, well, God, here I am. You know, don't look, come to me. And God was like, okay, you sure? Because I'm going to find out if you can carry what I want you to carry. And if you can't, I'm going to put you in the gym and I'm going to build up some upper body strength. But I'm going to teach you to carry the mantle that you're asking to carry. You want a healthy body? There may be things that God's going to say to you, I need you to do to carry a healthy body. Stop eating this. Stop going here. Stop cooking like that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, I mean, God has got on me off and on about that. But, you know, I finally let God walk me into a lifestyle and I'm not starving myself. I eat, man. I throw down, but it's what I eat. And you know, if those of you can remember, my face is small, getting small every week. I know that I struggled with weight forever. But as I started teaching this series, I submitted it to God, even my eating. I said, I want to do better with this. I want to do better with this. I'm not trying to put nobody in no guilt trips. Do what you got to do. I'm 61. I wasn't trying to die. You know, I know I was at that age. And they was telling me, with this corona, you know, you're at the crucial age. I'm like, no, I'm at a phenomenal freaking age. I'm doing good. I'm not going out like that. I'm telling you, our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. He's looking for every opportunity, but he's going to give you the opportunity to stand. How many are willing to stand with that opportunity? Keep your hand up. Father God, I just right now pray over these people. I touch and agree with everybody with their hand raised right now. And I pray that your power is manifested even right now for each and every person. We come against the spirit of fear. I can feel the spirit of fear has lifted off of everybody on this podcast right now, on this broadcast. I can feel it. I can feel a peace that has come over everybody in this room right now. I can feel it. I can feel it, Father. A truth has opened up to people that has set them free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I can feel the freedom taking place even right now as I have my hands raised with them. And I say, we curse the spirit of fear and any remnant of it that's left. We say every promise and yours is yea and amen. And we speak right now, Father God, liberty, liberty, liberty over every person in this room and anyone who watches it and receives this word. We are not children of fear. We are children of faith, and we are faithful, and we trust you, Father. We don't use faith to get things. We use faith to get close to you. We use faith to trust you. We use faith to lean on you. We use faith to become more and more like you every day, and we renounce and repent of every spirit of fear that we've submitted to, every lie from the kingdom of hell that we've taken, and we tear down every golden calf right now. We speak death to it. We say, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. In every force of darkness, I command a cease and desist on these people right now. And they'll stand, and they'll believe, and they'll receive, and they shall not be moved. In Jesus' name, and the people of God say, amen.